In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. You know, fear can be a very powerful motivator in our life. Fear can motivate us to do all sorts of things. Some fear is healthy, and it most motivates us to make positive changes in our life. Other fears are completely unhealthy and motivate us towards wrong choices and even cowardice. Fear can inspire us to move away from danger towards what is safe, for example, which is a good thing. We may find ourselves on a precipice with an unsure footing, and so we carefully step back, lest we fall. A health scare may inspire us to give up unhealthy habits and to actually embrace healthy ones. A negative work review may scare us so that we actually improve our work performance. However, fear can also inspire poor choices in us. We might fear facing a person or a situation, and so instead of doing what we need to do, we just simply avoid it because we're afraid to face it. Or we may encounter someone else who is going through an unjust situation, and instead of doing something or saying something, we do nothing and we say nothing, lest we suffer some kind of retaliation, which we fear. Sometimes it is simply the fear of what other people may think or what other people may say. And that fear motivates us to do all sorts of things or not do other things or say certain things or not say certain things. Well, today's gospel text certainly reveals to us a fearful situation. Here is a man who is bound by fetters and chains, who still broke free of them. How many people have you ever known to do that? How many prisoners have you heard stories about doing such things? A man who wore no clothes, who lived at the cemetery among the tombs. And he greeted Christ on the shore with a loud voice. In other words, he showed up yelling. Imagine what it would be like to drive into a parking lot, get out of the car, and be encounter such a man coming up to you yelling. It certainly would be a frightful situation. I would be frightened. The man himself was also bound in demonic fear. The first thing out of his mouth is, "What do you have to do with me? I beseech you, do not torment me." See, he was fearful of what was to come. He didn't know why Jesus was there. He didn't know what was in store for him. He was afraid of the conflict that may ensue and the unknown outcome. And certainly the story concludes with even the townspeople who were afraid. They were afraid of something else entirely, of course, but they were still afraid. They were afraid of what they did not understand. They were ultimately afraid of Christ because they did not understand him. Here was this man who had lived among the tombs, and suddenly they're hearing a report that he's fine. Everything's normal. And they have to come out and see for themselves, and they find this man who lived among the tombs, naked, breaking through chains, now sitting peacefully at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And the first thing that the passage tells us is that they were afraid. And then later, the passage goes on and tells us that they were seized with great fear and asked Jesus to leave their region. We can certainly understand why the situation was fearful. We can even understand, perhaps, why this man would have been fearful. But I don't know about you, but for me, it's always been a harder thing to understand. Why would the townspeople be afraid? What did they ultimately fear? Jesus did this good thing, and they were afraid of him. He didn't come doing evil. He came doing a great thing, and yet they were fearful. And I think on its most basic level, the answer to that question is rather simple. It's something that we're familiar with, and it's right in front of us. The simple explanation is that they feared change. They feared the unknown. They looked at how the situation had changed. They looked at Jesus, And they knew he was one who was there to bring changes. It doesn't mean that they liked the former situation, but they had established a certain kind of equilibrium, if you will. There were predictable elements about how this man acted and where you would find him. So you could kind of set ground rules of how to avoid him, teach your children to take a different way home from school, and so forth. So there are ground rules you can establish and predictability about encountering him. And Jesus changed all of that. Christ stepped onto the eastern shore of Galilee, a region long forgotten and ignored. And they somehow knew he was there to upset the status quo. And it certainly is true. Christ did not come to this earth to keep the status quo, did he? His ministry was all about upsetting the status quo, not for the sake of upsetting it, but to bring true change, to bring the kingdom of God into our midst, and for us to understand what it is to live in the fullness of the kingdom. He upset the status quo, and that angered people, and that threatened people, and that scared people. Christ represented change, and he certainly came to their region and was bringing change. He brought what was inconceivable. Jesus did what no one else could do. He brought something that was mystical and miraculous. Not only did Jesus venture into unknown realms that they didn't understand, but Jesus had authority over that realm that they didn't understand, and that fact terrified them. But what we must understand about this fear is this is not a good fear in the townspeople. It's not a saving fear. It was a passionate and sinful fear, a fear that led them away from God to reject Christ and send him away. It is true that fear can be confusing sometimes, because there are different kinds of fears. There are different sources for the fears and motivations for the fears, and understanding it and knowing how to respond is not always easy. It can be confusing. Some fear is healthy, some fear is unhealthy. Some fear motivates positive things, and other fears motivate negative things and negative reactions. And this is even true when it comes to our realm of faith and spirituality. Certainly, we look to the scriptures and we clearly hear the message about the fear of God. Both the Psalms and the Proverbs teach us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The apostle speaks in the book of Hebrews and says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And it's certainly true that in just about every service of the church, we pray for a good defense before the fearful judgment seat of Christ. See, but these things are speaking of a healthy and right fear of God that we should have. It is fitting, it is right for us to fear God in the right sense. And certainly, someone who has no fear of God is someone who is not spiritually healthy. But that kind of fear, the rightful fear of God, is a saving fear. It is a fear that leads to wisdom, a fear that leads to repentance, a fear that brings about hope. And ultimately, what we must understand is the fear of God never is in isolation of all other attributes of God, all other characteristics of our relationship with God. The fear of God doesn't supersede those things and trump those other experiences that we have with God. The fear of God is but one experience we have with the God that we come to know. The fear of God is not separated from all his other attributes or his characteristics. So that means that the fear of God is in fact connected to the love of God. And when we experience a true fear of God, we're not disconnected from the love of God. When we experience a true fear of God, it's also connected to the peace of God. And we experience in the fear of God also the peace of God. And fearing God, it's not this raw experience of fear that just simply terrifies us. But it's something that's transcendent, because God is transcendent. And it's something that brings us into an encounter with that God that we are coming to know and experience all these other things that are beautiful and positive. It's not a fear that ultimately makes us want to run away, but it's a fear that compels us to press into that mystery of what it is to know God. Well, that's not what the townspeople had. They did not possess a fear of God. It was not a fear of God that led to wisdom or repentance. They were simply afraid. And their fears drove them to react negatively to Christ. They were held captive, just like that man was held captive by demons. They were held captive by their fear, their great fear. And it led them to reject Christ. There are certainly any number of things in this world that could cause us to fear. I think we all know that the world in which we live can be a scary place at times. And certainly the world around us is changing. It's not changes necessarily that Christ brings, but the world is changing. Sometimes it's changing faster than we realize, and the realization sets in after the fact that things have changed. And it can be scary to come to that realization that things are changing or things have changed. Where do I go from here? How do I make sense of my life now in the midst of these changes? There can be any number of things that we may fear. But please, today, take the moment to prayerfully reflect. Where does that fear come from? What are you truly fearing? And is it a fear that motivates you to good or to bad, to positive or to negative? Is it a fear that leads to a negative place where you want to make negative choices and decisions? Or is it a fear that brings you to wisdom? Is it the fear of God that makes you want to press into what is good, to make solid choices and decisions? When we recognize that we are afraid, we can make different choices than what we witness in those townspeople. Instead of rejecting Christ and sending him away, we can welcome him into our lives to remain with us. We can prioritize our fear and recognize what we should fear and what we should not fear. And the one fear that we should hold on to is the fear of God. Instead of fearing people or situations or places, we can fear God. And we can invite him and all that he is into our midst, into our lives. See, the fear of God is a saving fear. The fear of God leads us to wisdom and grace. As we fear God, we will discover a new message that God has given to the saints down through the ages. When the great patriarch Abraham was afraid of the circumstance that he was facing, God spoke to him and said, "Fear not, for I am your shield." When the prophet Elisha was fearful for the city that was surrounded by enemy forces, God spoke to that prophet Elisha and said, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with the enemy." Isaiah heard that same message that he was to proclaim to Israel. "Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my victorious right hand." It's the same message that was spoken to so many prophets. "Fear not" was spoken to Jeremiah, spoken to Daniel, spoken through Joel and Haggai and Zechariah. Certainly, if we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, did not our Lord Jesus Christ come into this world and teach us that we should not be ruled by fear? To not worry about our lives, where we're to go, how we're to clothe ourselves and feed ourselves and such things. He said, don't worry about these things. God will take care of you. Fear not is the message. And in fact, did not Christ come into this world to deal with the greatest of all fears, the fear of death? Christ came into this world to triumph over sin and death, and he did. He triumphed, and thus he slayed the greatest of fears, the fear of death. What we must understand is that it is the fear of God that leads us to something positive. Other fears don't necessarily lead us to those positive places, but the fear of God, it leads us to a positive place. It leads us to wisdom, to repentance, to hope, to the peace of God, to the love of God. So let us embrace that healthy fear of God, and let us reject the unhealthy fear that the townspeople possess, that we witness in the gospel text. Let us welcome Christ into our lives and fear him in the right sense. And regarding whatever fearful thing we may face, we can hear Christ say to us, "Fear not, for I am with you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.